Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. I'm not even going to say the other part because you know what that other part is. So I don't know if you guys referenced it, but if you listened to our last basketball podcast, everything kind of changed. So that episode came out before the live draft, and then you guys held a live draft reaction party. I was going to be there, but some stuff came up. Yeah, some stuff came up, and I couldn't be there.
You missed it. Austin was begging for mercy by the end.
I have not actually been able to go and like check it out. How did it go for our listeners that have not gone back to check it out? Because we did release it as our regular episode, if I'm correct.
It was 4 hours, Ren.
How was it?
Was
okay. So is that?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Now go ahead.
We actually didn't. Go ahead. We actually didn't end up having iForensic on. I think he got busy with something. We had Corey on around. Well, Corey popped in a few times, but specifically around the Jaguars selection. And we had a lot of heartbreak. We had a lot of what the hell is this team doing?
That's every draft, though.
We had a lot.
So I guess my follow-up question is, do you foresee No Reserves doing that again in the future for other things? Okay. That's what I figured.
Yeah. I just
was asking rhetorical questions on behalf of the listener. But yeah, if you haven't checked that out, go check it out. If you've got 4 hours to kill and, you know, you want to listen to apparently heartbreak, as is every draft. We didn't do a live like reaction or anything, but Angelo will remember when we were watching the NBA draft and the Pacers selected Koulibaly and how just disappointed I was. Not because Koulibaly is a bad player, but because he didn't really fit the roster. And then thankfully there was a trade, but drafts and the trade deadline and free agency are like the best and the worst time to be a fan of sports.
So Austin said originally when he popped in that he was just going to stay to the Cowboys pick. So the Cowboys traded down and he was like, okay, well, I'm going to stay till their pick. And then the Cowboys traded down again and they traded down to like one of the final three picks. And then Austin was just like accepted defeat at that point. Fuck it. I'll just finish it out.
But this is the basketball edition of No Reserves. Apologies for any like technical issues that might crop up. Because of kind of how the schedules fall this week, we are recording this on Saturday and we're releasing it Sunday morning. So there's not going to be really a lot of time for editing or anything like that. If anything does pop up, it's just going to kind of be cut and dry. This is what you're getting. So deal with it. And it'll still be good because we don't really need to edit that much normally, do we? Not really. Not anymore. I feel like we did earlier in the life cycle of the podcast.
I like the less editing. I completely agree.
So when we recorded our last episode, there were some games in progress. We ended up I feel like all of us ate a little bit of crow, because a lot of crow, because the Heat won
all
a
of
game.
Us ate a lot of bit of crow.
Not only did the Heat win a game,
convincingly.
Convincingly. You know who did win convincingly? The Orlando Magic. Twice.
They blew us out twice. I don't know.
76ers.
I don't know what's going on with Cleveland, man. This 76ers, is giving me Knicks last 76ers,
year vibes. Joel Embiid dropping 50 God. After we talk about how he's held together by bubblegum and duct tape. But we'll talk about all of these series, at least in a minor form. Like, we probably won't go into super detail, just because we are going to try to release more episodes throughout the playoffs, just because so much is changing on a day-to-day basis. But you probably won't be getting, like, the two-hour episodes you're used to. Who knows? We lose track of time a lot, and we go off on random tangents about, like, the Spanish-American War for no reason. Nobody's here for that, but we just don't think about it, and we start talking, and that's our podcast summarized, essentially. So let's go ahead, and I'll start. I'm just trying to figure out where we were. Let's start with the Heat Celtics. They're actually playing right now. They tipped off about 6 minutes ago. Celtics are up 10-3 in that one. So in that game, okay, fine. I'll do it this way. Shockingly, just not a terrible game from the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown, 33-8. Jason Tatum, 28-8. The only issue was besides those two, right? So Derek White, 13-4-1. Drew Holiday, 9-2-3. And I think all these games are blending together because I've watched so much freaking basketball this week. I have not really seen Drew be that defensive stopper that we're used to. He's still playing good defense, but it's not as impactful, it seems like, in this playoff series. And maybe that's just because the Miami Heat really don't have anyone. And yet again, Caleb Martin is bailing the Heat out.
It's giving you no flashbacks. No. Are you about to switch your pick?
Because
to the
no matter what, they're not going to have Jimmy Butler back. Okay. And even if they were to somehow, because this is kind of what I'm talking about.
What happened?
I would say Boston choked. And that's kind of what I was about to say, because the Heat had a decent on paper stat game, right? Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Caleb Martin, Nikola Jovic, and Jaime Jaquez, all double digit scores. Haywood Highsmith had 9. Like, an all around just great team performance, right? Celtics, on the other hand, like I said, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were the only ones that scored. They had one other player in double figures, and that was Derek White with 13. So, how much of this game, this game in particular, because I don't want to talk necessarily about the series, but this is an outlier. So how much of this game do you think was the Heat playing above their weight, or was it just the Celtics? Not necessarily, like, a little bit of both.
It could be a bit of both.
Because I just...
Yeah, for sure.
I could see a world where the Heat win this series because the Celtics, for whatever reason, think that they should just be able to walk through the series. And to be fair, they really should. But you still have to play. Like, it's not...
What would be the... Here's the thing.
You have
what
to break the Jays up.
What would be the backlash if that happened?
You have to trade Jaylen Brown at that point.
At that point?
I feel like... Like, for so long, we've said, not we, I'm ubiquitous, we have said that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum cannot work together, not at the money they're making. Like, you can't build a roster around them because they're making a stupid amount of money. Jaylen Brown is making $300 million. if this team underperforms that badly to where they're eliminated in the first round by the Miami Heat, who don't have Jimmy Butler. They don't have Jimmy Butler. We're not playing those stupid games. They don't have their best player or their second best player, depending on who you ask. So if the Celtics were to underperform here, you have to not necessarily do a full rebuild because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are both young players. It's not like they're even beginning to enter their prime. But because of their contracts, you can't build a team around both of them. So one of them would have to be gone. Obviously, that's probably going to be Jaylen Brown because Jason Tatum is the better player. I don't think there's many people that would argue that. Maybe Jaylen Brown's family. And then we go from there. Like, that would be the fallout of the Boston Celtics blowing this series. Are the Boston Celtics going to blow this series? I would bet a large sum of money they are not. This scares me for the next series or the series after, but I don't think the Heat have the firepower to beat the Celtics night in, night out without Jimmy Butler. So,
Jimmy Butler. Exactly. Thank you.
Well, I'm saying that without Jimmy Butler, they have Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. Again, Tommy Hawkins is nice. Caleb Martin, a playoff performer. But you're missing a large cog in your offense and defense, so you don't have the firepower to go against a otherwise healthy Celtics. I think, there's no one injured. Yeah, there's no one injured on the Celtics right now, at least no one that I can think of. But like if this Boston team were to go against the Knicks or the Cavs or the Pacers or the Magic or the 76ers, like, and the 76ers are healthy. If they've got Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and they lose to them, I think there's more justification that you lost to a good team, right? It still sucks, it still hurts, but you lost to a good team. Without Jimmy Butler, or without, like, if Bam Adebayo was down, it would be the same thing. Without these key pieces, this is not a great team. And you are the best team in the East. So if you were to lose to not a great team, questions are going to come up. And from there, I feel like you have to hit the soft reset button. You build around either Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. But you cannot build around both if you lose in the first round here. And I'm not sure it would even fully be on the team's decision. I feel like one of them would probably request a trade. Just because, again, that's an underperformance that you can't really justify, right? I'm going to say yes, you didn't answer, but yeah.
I think if any team is to the season.
Then we had the Pelicans Thunder, which we all predicted the Thunder were going to win this. I didn't think it would be as convincing because did it wrap up yet? Yeah, so Pelicans Thunder played today, and again, the Thunder beat the Pelicans by 20 points. So we'll just talk about this whole series because in their last game, they beat them by damn near 30. Obviously, Pelicans are missing a key piece, which is Zion Williamson. But it seems like the Thunder are a younger team. And they haven't really had that early playoff. I guess fear is the word. What would we call that? Real exposure to the playoffs. Because nobody typically plays that well in their first true playoff run. But Chet Holmgren, who, for all intents and purposes, is a rookie. Today, he didn't have a great game, but 26 points in the last game. 9 for 13 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3. 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. There's no... It's not a sophomore slump because they're it's their first experience. Whatever that word is. We haven't seen that yet from the Thunder. Because the Pelicans are a good team. They've got a decent amount of playoff experience, even with Zion being hurt.
They have all their playoff experience with Zion being hurt.
That's not true. What I mean is they have players that played elsewhere, Angelo. They have CJ McCollum. They have Jonas Valanciunas. Hold on. 2000. Did the Lakers make the playoffs with Ingram? No, they did not. Brandon Ingram's only playoff experience has been without Zion. So that one you were right on. But they've got players that have playoff experience, whereas the Thunder don't really. I don't know. There's nothing necessarily surprising to me about the way this series is going. I thought the Pels would steal a game, but if you're losing by 20 every game, this is the first sweep.
Yeah, I did. It's not the first sweep.
Am I missing something?
Denver, LA.
Oh, you're right. I forgot Denver played last night. They play today. Today is the sweep. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought the Thunder were a game ahead of the Lakers.
I see what the NBA did there, trying to get all the games out of the Denver LA series.
I mean, you might as well. But realistically, is there much you want to talk about with the Thunder Pelicans? Because it just kind of feels like we're just waiting for the Thunder to put the Pelicans down and then just move on, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Herb Jones, though. Still one of my favorite players.
Here's a question for you. You own the Pelicans. What the fuck do you do? Because quite honestly, this is like, I don't know if this is actually true or not, but it feels like this is the third or fourth year in a row the Pelicans have been a play-in team, made it, and then early exit. Like, do you just like give up? Like, at what point do you give up? At what point do you stop being the worst best team?
It's tough. Because if I'm in the ownership group and I'm sitting in that office, I know that if we're healthy, we're a good team. That's the catch 22, because if this team is healthy, it's one of the best teams in the NBA, but it won't be. So what do you do? Do you blow up what potentially is one of the best teams in the NBA? Like, it's tough. I would not have gone with CJ McCollum. I don't necessarily think he really fits with what you're trying to do here. An older player that could have fit that same role that I think would have fit better with this team would have been Malcolm Brogdon. Or you go and swing for the fences and try to bring in a superstar player that can carry the load when Zion has way too much of that New Orleans cuisine. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough because, like I said, they're on paper, which unfortunately games are not played on paper, one of the best teams in the NBA. They have offense, they have defense, they have playmaking, they have rebounding. The problem is, half of that is Zion Williamson. So if you're always going to be banking on Zion being healthy, you're probably never going to make any noise. But then you run into the issue, do you trade Zion? And then you run into the issue, what is Zion's value? Are you going to get fair value for a player that's virtually unstoppable offensively when that player can't stay healthy?
No.
Where, how much of a sunk cost are you willing to take?
No.
That's where it gets hard. Because if you trade Zion, you're trading, you're selling low.
Yeah, well, not only are you, if you trade Zion, you're selling low, you're right. Also and so selling your job most likely to the team.
Herb Jones, you don't trade Herb Jones. I don't care how much of a rebuild you're going into. Brandon Ingram, yeah, you can move Ingram. I don't know what you get for him right now, because he's been kind of a roller coaster statistically. CJ McCollum.
Yep.
If you were going to trade him, it should have been at this deadline to a contender. He's, you know, every year getting older. That's how age works. Every year getting a little slower, yep. A little less productive. So your window's kind of closed there. So it feels like they kind of went all in on hoping that this was the year everyone was going to be healthy. And that's that. And I don't know what the solution is there. If I'm the owner, if I'm the general manager, I might just go ahead and start packing my office up now before this series ends, because
that's kind of the thing. Like, if you trade Zion, you're going to get fired. But quite honestly, if you keep Zion and he's not there, like you're also going to get fired.
You probably are getting fired anyway. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the decisions, the personnel decisions on this team were not beneficial. Because, like, you look at, like, a team like the 76ers, right? It's constructed in a way that if Joel goes down, they're probably not going to win, but you're not going to be surprised if Tyrese Maxey goes out and steals a game or two, right? I don't see Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Jonas Valanciunas. I don't see any of them being that piece that you can fall back on to go win you a game when Zion's out. They're going to do it, obviously, because they won games when Zion was injured. But I don't think that's something you can rely on. Like the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler's out, but you know Bam can go win you a game. You know Tyler Hero can go win you a game. And it's sad when I'm saying Tyler Hero can go win you a game, and I'm not sure about that from the rest of the New Orleans Pelicans. So it has to fall back on the person that put the team together. Because you can only blame the players for what they do on the floor. They didn't make those decisions of who to put in that locker room. So I think it starts there. I think you start with a new face in the front office, which I don't even know who's in the front office there anymore and how long they've been there, but you go from there. Personally. All right, I'm going to hit it close to home, Angelo. Cavs magic. Nope. I'm just going down the list in terms of the games played. So, Thursday night, while you were doing your draft, Cavaliers 83,
yeah.
Magic 121. 2 days later, today.
Yeah.
Cavaliers 89, mm-hmm. Magic 112. Series is tied 2-2. So, yeah. Statistically, the Cavs went up 2-0, right? So, statistically, they've already won this series. Does it feel that way? Let's break out the worryometer from last week. How worried are you right now as a Cavs fan?
About a six, only because I guess they have to win in Cleveland, and I haven't seen them score more than 90 points in Cleveland, and they're also a young team with inexperience in the playoffs, and young players tend to perform better at home, but the Cavs offense has to figure something out, dude. Like,
I think,
oh man. Maybe the Magic are just that good defensively. And if that's the case, I have no idea. Like, I'd like to see the Magic versus Pacers in a series of
no scoring.
It would.
I think it's a lot to just do with the depth of the Magic. Like, in that game, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. In the game today, the Magic played all 15 people that were dressed for the game. All 15. Only three of them didn't score, but every single one of them contributed in some statistical way. I don't know. Because I didn't watch this game because I've been shopping. But just looking at the box score and the split stats, you got to imagine that even with the Magic being a better defensive team, I don't think the Cavs are going 4-for-17 from three very often. And I'm doing that just based on, like, feel.
I hope so.
Like, I don't think that that's a... I don't think they're shooting 23% as a team in general, is what I'm saying. On the flip side, I don't think that, you know, the rebounds, when you've got Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, I don't think Franz Wagner is going to go get 13 over Allen and Mobley very often. And in this game, the Cavs were out rebounded by 14, 29-43. And of those, 8 offensive rebounds for the Orlando Magic. I'm still not necessarily worried. I think the Magic are very capable of winning this series. But like you said, they do have to win on the road. But you said that you haven't seen the Magic score 90 in Cleveland. I haven't seen the Cavs score 90 in Orlando yet. Granted, Cavs are the home team, so yeah.
They only have to go there 3 times. They only got to go there 1 more time.
So it'll hurt us 1 more time. Interesting to see how the rest of this series plays out, because I think that it's 0-0 right now. Like, it's tie series. It's anyone's first round. And if you told me that the Cavs are going to lose this series, it wouldn't surprise me. It would disappoint me because, like, they're better than that. But but the Magic are pretty good.
I'm not going to think about what I'll do if they lose this series.
Too bad, because that's what we're doing. Welcome to hosting sports radio, Angelo. So, hypothetically, you are... Who's your GM now?
They lose this series, it won't matter.
So you're the owner of the Cavs. What are you doing the day after this series concludes if the Magic pull off the upset?
So... you don't follow very football, loosely. Right? Do you know what the New York Giants just did? They fired everyone in their staff following this season, except their head coach and their offensive coordinator.
So just
something similar to
basically
that.
Fire everyone related to player personnel. What about roster changes? Is there any major change you would make, barring, because if the Cavs blow this, there's at least a chance Donovan Mitchell requests a trade, but outside of that, are there any decisions you would be making regarding this franchise and next season?
I would probably be trading Okoro because they wouldn't be paying him. I might even consider trading him.
The only two pieces for me that would be untouchable would be Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. I think there's other pieces like
and Mobley.
Isaac Okoro, I would love to keep Okoro, but you're absolutely right. Like, if this team underperforms, I don't want to pay him. Max Strus has been fantastic for you guys. Georges Niang. I keep Niang because he's a depth piece. Yeah, if Tristan Thompson doesn't retire, I keep him because, you know, that's basically he left, but it's your guys' Udonis Haslam.
Yes.
And honestly, much, yeah. I wouldn't have a problem keeping Caris LeVert, but if you don't have to pay Caris LeVert and he's still coming off the bench, I think he's a very good six man. But Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell, for sure, those are pieces I'm not necessarily wanting to trade, but I am exploring the market. Just because there's value, like gauging the value, essentially. On the flip side, if I'm the Magic and I lose the series, I'm not doing anything because, holy shit, you shouldn't even be this far developed yet, right? Like, this is a team that we expect to be very good. We didn't expect them to be this good this early. And if they upset a team as talented as the Cavs, you aren't changing anything. You are just running it back next year with another year of development for Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Anthony Black, Cole Anthony, whoever. They're so fucking young. It's annoying.
It is. They have a lot now.
Our Thunder, Pelicans, Celtics. Let's go ahead and talk about the Nuggets, Lakers. That game tips off in 2 hours. You do.
Oh, do I have to?
So Nikola Jokic doing Nikola Jokic things.
Yeah.
He had an interview
today.
I'm surprised I have not been like utilizing my notes at all. Oh, and in today's game with the Cavs, I remembered I wasn't using my notes and I pulled them up and I just saw this. The end of the third. Did you watch the Cavs game?
No, it was during the... Are you mean the most recent one?
So in the third quarter, the end of the third quarter, the Magic went on a 31-5 run. Like, that's... You can't stop that.
Yeah.
That's four straight games. The Cavs have not broke 100 points. Cleveland's main rotation only scored 18 points in the second half. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done dunking on them. Let's talk about the Lakers Nuggets. So Jokic had an interview today basically where he said he doesn't like the playoffs because it's boring playing the same team every game. And like, it feels like it's such a Jokic response, but it sounds like so cocky because he's like, I don't even know that I'm playing the Lakers. Like, I don't care. Like, fuck the Lakers, right? Do you think this is a sweep? Like, officially? Like, are you just going to go on the record and you're going to give it the Angelo curse so that the Lakers win a game here tonight?
Yeah, I'm not sure that even the Angelo curse can save the Lakers. So, yeah.
I agree. Nuggets are good. Nuggets are real good. So, same sort of scenario. You are Jeannie Buss. What are you doing the moment you're told? I guess you would be watching, but you're watching this game. the storied Lakers with arguably the greatest player of all time, even though he's old now, he's still there, swept in the first round. What are you doing next year? Are you
letting LeBron, what if LeBron walk doesn't and walk? Then so I guess I suffer that through another year of this.
God, you haven't watched Ted Lasso, so I can't use that as a reference. So you think that LeBron is partially not responsible, but his refusal to kind of realize he's old now and not that same player is partially to blame for the inability for the Lakers to have a competitive team?
I mean, it's kind of hard to put all the blame on LeBron when AD can't stay healthy a lot of the seasons, when, I don't know. I just think so many things went wrong.
I mean, I really don't think much went wrong. I just think father time and father health caught up with two of the players that were pretty much biding their time with those two particular situations. And I also, so for me, if I'm Genie Bus, I'm not necessarily doing anything. And it's not because I'm thinking, oh, we're going to run it back. It's because you're losing in the first round to the team that's eventually going to be a three-peat. Like, they are going to win all the way through, more than likely.
Here's the thing, though. You didn't even take a game.
Andrew, let's play a game. All right, so.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, we are 2 months in the future. Okay? We are sitting here recording after the conclusion of the NBA Finals, all right? So that's what we're doing right now, right? All right. So that's the scene, all right? We're in the scene. Tell me when it's unrealistic. Crazy that the Nuggets didn't lose a single game in these playoffs. Huh?
Probably there.
You think that
probably,
like,
there?
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying that would be surprising to you, because even if it's not likely, it wouldn't surprise me.
Kinda, yeah.
This Nuggets team is that good. Jamal Murray.
It would mean.
Is.
It would surprise. You're telling me if they swept like the Timberwolves or the Thunder, that would, well, not, maybe not the Thunder, but.
Would it impress me? Yes, because I don't think it's likely, but would it surprise me? No. Okay. While he's there. So I guess kind of what I'm saying is, like, let's say if at the end of the playoffs, we were having a conversation about Nikola Jokic averaging a triple-double for the entirety of the playoffs, right? It's impressive, but it wouldn't be surprising. It's unlikely, but it wouldn't be surprising. So I don't think losing to a team of the, or getting swept by a team of the Nuggets caliber, I don't think the alarm bell should be sounding because of that. I think the age and health of the team is what I would be more worried about. The fact that you're getting swept by a team, I think, is inconsequential, at least to me. Nothing else.
Brad, blow it up.
Knicks 76ers. So the series is currently 2-1.
2-1.
76ers won pretty convincingly on Thursday night. Jalen Brunson, hell of a game. 39 points, 13 assists, 2 rebounds. Josh Hart, 20 points, 6 and 6. OG Anunoby, 17, 2 and 4.
Isaiah Hartenstein 14, 1, and 4. The only problem is Joel Embiid is that guy. 50 points, 4 assists, 8 rebounds. Tyrese Maxey had a hell of a game, too. 25 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. The problem is I don't think that... It's like using football for an example. If your game plan is a Hail Mary, you've done something wrong, right? Now, granted, it in our Madden league, that is my game plan, but it works in Madden. It would not work in real life. If your game plan is for Joel Embiid to go out and get you 50 to win by 11, you're in a bad situation. So I don't necessarily think that if I'm the Knicks, I'm not worried that this is a turning point. It was a home game for the 76ers, first home playoff game. I still stick by my previous statement that Joel Embiid is being held together by various means and that he's not really 100% healthy. And we'll talk more about this when we get to the Bucks-Pacers series. But if I am an owner, I would be starting to get concerned by the fact that, granted, this is the playoffs, and in the one I'm going to talk about later, it was a regular season. But at what point are you not, again, going to the sunk costs here? When are you saying this franchise player's health is more important than potentially maybe winning a single playoff series? And do you shut down Joel Embiid? Because he's not...
I wouldn't have brought
right, that's what I'm
back.
Saying. Like, at this point, is this not
stupid,
pointless?
Yes.
This is the future of your franchise. Even if you somehow were to get past the Knicks, you're not going much further, right? Like, and at the start of the playoffs, I would have said the 76ers are a dark horse for me. But Joel Embiid is clearly not right. He's not healthy right now. He's playing through something, and you know, I'm a fan of hockey. I love when players play through shit, but like, not this level, right? Like, if you are that severely injured, just rest. Like, this is the reason you actually rest. This isn't load management. This is you are not right. Are you, with that said, are you worried from the Knicks standpoint that this might be Joel Embiid puts the team on his back and you don't, because the Knicks do not, if Joel Embiid is playing like Joel Embiid, the Knicks do not have an answer to him. Like, what are you going to do, put Mitchell Robinson on him?
You can try, but this...
Because Isaiah Hartenstein ain't going to do it. Like, there's really not much you can do, so.
I wouldn't be concerned if I was...
I'm not either. I'm just... We're trying to be devil's advocates here.
That's fair.
Next is Bucks Pacers. So... I turned the game off like halfway through the third because I feel like I am bad luck for the Pacers and they always seem to start blowing leads. Because when I turned on the game, they were up like 20-5 or something. Like they were up. And slowly the Bucks started to claw their way back. And
oh, God. Well, speaking of being a curse, the Miami Celtics game is getting really ugly really fast.
61-36. Yikes.
Yeah.
I turned the game off and then I just, you know, my phone was going off with the notifications from SportsCenter. And, you know, I saw it go to overtime on an amazing shot from Chris Middleton to tie the game. So, you know, shit, as a Pacers fan, like, this, you don't want this, right? It's a tie series. You're at home. You want to win this. And I was like, do I turn it back on? No, I'm just going to sit here and watch my phone. And I ended up hitting the play radio button on the app. And
oh, my God, really? You're that superstitious. Look,
it's been bad. It's been bad. So I was just listening to the radio play-by-play. And, like, Pacers, near the end of overtime, go up by 3. Chris Middleton, again, bank 3. And I cannot understate how great of a game Chris Middleton had. Like, it was ridiculous, and the Bucks needed that. But 2 clutch shots at the end of the game, and then at the end of regulation and at the end of overtime, basically to give the Bucks a chance. And so I was like, well, shit, there's 6 seconds left. I'm turning it back on. And I'm glad I did, because I got to see one of the defining moments of a player's career, right? So when you have a young player, they have their welcome to the playoffs moment. And sometimes it happens early, sometimes it happens late. And we got to see that with Tyrese Halliburton. So they had him mic'd up when he was in the huddle at the timeout with 6 seconds to go. And basically the entire time, like, he's convinced himself and the team, he's taking this shot. Like, if they're going to double overtime, or if they're winning the game, it's going to be because of him. Which I think has been a criticism that's very warranted of Tyrese Halliburton, as he spends so much time trying to set everyone else up that he doesn't really take the reins himself. And when you have a superstar player, a fringe superstar player, all-star, whatever you want to call it, they have to have that killer instinct, right? So the ball gets inbounded into the backcourt. Or no, it's a long rebound. It was a long rebound into the backcourt. And Tyrese takes it and just, it looked like something out of 2K. He just sprinted all the way up the court, put Patrick Beverley on skates. Chris Middleton didn't know whether to go guard Miles 40% from 3 Turner in the corner or drop on Tyrese. Tyrese takes a floater with 2 people in his face, hits it with 1 second to go. Bucks went right back to Chris Middleton, which you have to. And unfortunately, he did miss that shot, and we didn't get the double overtime. But Tyrese had his welcome to the NBA playoffs moment. And unfortunately, he didn't do what I wanted him to do, because early in the game, like first quarter, like nothing has happened yet, and Patrick Beverley, of all freaking people, hits a pull-up jumper and does the too small celebration. So I really wanted Tyrese to do it back to him after Tyrese crossed him up, but he didn't, because, you know, he's better than me. He probably wouldn't button dance in the show either. But early in the game, Dame went down with a knee injury, went back to the locker room, came back out, was playing, seemed a little bit off, a little hobbled. And then today, why do I not have that pulled up? I have one of them pulled up, but I don't have both of them pulled up. Doc Rivers came out and said that Dame has been dealing with a lingering injury, and it was really impacting him yesterday. And then Shams actually just tweeted a couple hours ago, Milwaukee Bucks star Damian Lillard has suffered a strained Achilles, is in a walking boot, and there is doubt for his availability for Game 4 versus the Pacers on Sunday.
Yeah, the Bucks are hosed.
I will say, to Doc Rivers' credit, he is a far better coach. Let me finish. Let me take a drink real quick. He is a far better coach when he does not have a star player. When he has to get blood from a stone, he is a far better coach. That is the one good thing you can say about him. His out of timeout play calling is abysmal, to say the least. I think a lot of it is saved by the fact that you know, he had Chris Paul or Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, he's had playmakers that were able to create out of those. But when it comes to injured stars, Doc seems to get the role players to step up. That said, I'm not that worried as a Pacers fan. Obviously, I want to beat the Bucks, but I don't want to beat an injured Bucks because then it's got an asterisk next to it. I think that you always want to beat a team at full strength. Otherwise, you didn't really beat that team, right? Let me guess, you disagree.
What?
Beating a team that's injured in the playoffs, it doesn't really have that much meaning. Like, yeah, you made it to the second round or the third round or fourth round or whatever. But did you really? Because the other team's two best players were hurt.
I mean, you can only play who's in front of you. So
I'm saying more as like a fan of the sport. Like, I would rather live or die with two healthy teams. Like, I want everyone on the court to be healthy, and I want both teams to play and the better team to win. I don't want, because I think the Pacers beat the Bucks if healthy, but I can't say that if the Bucks aren't healthy and the Pacers beat them, because then Bucks fans are going to go with the Bobby Portis answer of, oh, front runners. We stomped you guys every game of the regular season. Like, get over it. But that kind of leads me into it. Like, the Bucks were pretty much playoff locks for a long time. Obviously, Giannis and Dame, it sounds like they were dealing with injuries towards the end of the season. And for whatever reason, the Bucks decided to play them to contend for a higher seed, which I get it. Seeding is important, but
I don't get it.
You risk your players' health going into the playoffs when it actually matters. I would rather be a low seed with my star players than a high seed without them.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I wasn't disagreeing with that. Like, that was the logic.
That's kind of thing. And it's kind of like a similar aspect when you had LeBron in his prime. With Giannis, you have Giannis. Who gives a fuck what seeding you get? You can win a game on the road with him. Why?
I think it was just a poor decision. And again, Doc Rivers is Doc Rivers, and Doc Rivers is going to do what Doc Rivers wants to do. I just really, like, I'm hoping Giannis is able to come back because I want to watch good basketball. I don't want to watch Chris Middleton have to put on superhero heroics to try to keep a team within one. Do, like, for all that being said, that the longer game benefited the Pacers because they're a younger team. They're going to get out and run more. They're going to recover better from a long game. Damian Lillard played 45 minutes on an injured Achilles. He's going to feel that.
And he's going to play zero tomorrow.
Brooke Lopez played 39 minutes. Like, it's going to add up. We're going to have to end up seeing more Jay Crowder minutes. And nobody, no Bucks fan, no NBA fan wants to see more Jay Crowder minutes. We're going to have to, though. Maybe Patrick Beverley will score 10 points. Who knows?
Yeah. Bucks are,
I don't think
hosed.
They're hosed.
I think they're, if they don't have Dame, they are hosed.
I never doubt a young team's ability to choke away an advantage.
Is Dame even going to be back for the rest of the series?
Potentially, if it goes long enough. We don't know. Like, we don't know the extent of the injury yet. An Achilles strain can be pretty serious. It can also just be, you know, sore. We don't know. We don't have access to that information. Doc could be playing 4D chess and Dame could suit up tomorrow. Who knows? Clippers Mavericks. Another example. Well, so Russ got ejected for two technicals. Frustration. Hardcore frustration. Over 7 from the field. Ends up drawing two technicals. Gets tossed. But my favorite moment of the night started, and fans of No Reserves will understand why. Second quarter, 39-47. So the game's not like out of reach yet. Luka one-on-one against Kawhi. Easy bucket. Runs down the court. Does the too small celebration and yells too fucking small to Kawhi Leonard. I love it. You don't want to defend Kawhi?
It's not much to defend right now.
But it's Kawhi. He's it's your boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. That's
Clippers are struggling.
Yeah, and that's sad because I did want them to do whatever.
9 points are quiet. You gotta be kidding me. In a play.
Paul George had 7. Norm Powell had 21. So the only one of the big four for this team that did anything was James Harden.
Are they hurt?
I mean, I don't know. After this game, their feelings are probably hurt. Physically, I don't know.
I'm just looking at the minute spread, and Kawhi only had 25 minutes. Paul George had 30. In the playoffs?
Welcome to what I've been saying all along.
He didn't even have that good of a game. He was 7 for 25. Oh, man.
I'm trying to like look for a saving grace here. Hold on.
Clippers still have more experience than the Mavericks. That's
That's
saving grace.
Yeah, I guess. Because the Mavs have some veterans on that team. If this is the kind of performance we're going to see from Kawhi and PG, then just don't even run it back. Like, yeah. Granted, it's 2-1. Like, the series is not over.
It's one.
Yeah,
game.
The series is
it's
not over game. By any stretch of the imagination. Game. But if this,
it's just nothing. Yeah,
if this performance
game.
Is the regular, and Kawhi is coming back from an injury. To be fair, like he did miss game one, but. He's got 24 points through two games. Paul George, a little bit better. He had 22 points in both of the first two games, but 7 on 3 for 11 shooting, 1 for 6 from deep. With the, you've got to get more out of those two. Those are your star plate pieces. Like
yeah.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook, yeah, they're all around the same age, but James Harden and Russell Westbrook are not the James Harden and Russell Westbrook of yesteryear. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were still up there. Like, easily will be on our top 10 lists at the end of the year. This is not the performance you need out of them. You need more than 24 points in two games from Kawhi Leonard if you're going to make any noise in this playoffs, let alone get through the first round. I don't know. I didn't watch this game, so I can't speak to like how well those two in particular were playing defensively, but probably not very good. They gave up 36 in the second quarter. What's your worryometer at from the perspective of
it's just one game. They're still only down. It's going to be a lot higher if they lose game 5 or game 4. But yeah, it's about a 6-7, yeah.
Right. And wrapping up the first round games. Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns. 3-0 Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards is that guy, first off.
KD and LeBron might actually both get swept.
The interesting thing about you saying that is I think KD would be the second person swept, right?
Yeah.
There was a little article I saw today from KD talking about how he's always second. He was the second best player in high school. He was the second overall draft pick. He's been second in MVP voting every time. He's always the second. So if he is second to LeBron in being swept from the playoffs, that's another second to add to his resume. Now, to be fair to Kevin Durant, this is not necessarily on him. 25 points, 8 for 18 shooting from the field. It's just a bad roster makeup. You have three players who are ball dominant. Your three key pieces are all ball dominant. There is one basketball on the floor. I say it all the time. Nobody is trying to get the rest of this team involved. It's these three players scoring, and that's it. And, you know, you do need someone that can go out and get you a bucket. Someone that's just going to go into ISO and score an unassisted bucket, right?
That's everyone
on the Suns. There's no one there rotating the ball. Nobody slowing down the offense when, you know, KD or who. So if a player goes into or tries to call for an ISO three times and they miss two times, you need someone on the team that's not going to give them the ball and is instead going to swing it the other way. And there's no one on this team because if they don't want KD to go into an ISO, Bradley Beal's just going to do it. Devin Booker. Like, the half-court offense of this team is basically dribble until the shot clock's lower and then shoot it. There's not a lot of involvement in the rest of the team. There's not a lot of bench depth. Whereas subsequently, the Timberwolves, like, yeah, they got Anthony Edwards giving you 36, but they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players in double figures. There were 3 players in double figures on the Suns. And there's really no way for the Suns to overcome this. It's 3-0. Even with ideal circumstances, you're not coming back 3-0 very often. The Suns team's not getting it done. Worryometer, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance we'll see a lot of movement in this offseason.
So the issue is, how does that get done? Because a lot of those pieces are under contract. So it would have to be involving trades. And I don't know if you're trying to trade a disgruntled star, if you trade for another disgruntled star, if you really move the needle at all. Because a lot of the times, while those players are not the problem, they're not part of the solution. Right? Like, Kevin Durant can go give you 45, but he's not going to give you much else at this point in his career. So if you trade Kevin Durant for Paul George, it'd be Paul George plus, because Kevin Durant is still a significantly better player than Paul George. Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi will give you scoring when he plays, but not much else. So you're basically flipping assets for the same asset, essentially, like different play styles in some cases, but you're essentially just flipping one problem for another. And that's not to say that these players are problems. It's just when something's broke, you don't just plug in the same piece, right? So if you're just flip Kevin Durant for another player that has the same kind of issues and don't adjust the roster to fit them, you're not doing anything. It'll be interesting to see if some of the players that have options going into this offseason decline them, even though they will probably not get offered a contract at that same value. Isn't Kevin Durant on an option?
That's a good question. I thought he was signed to a 3-year deal. But I could be wrong.
2025 is when he comes off. But is that an option? It is not. He does not have a player option for his final year. Interesting. Upcoming NBA free agents. Let's take a quick gander. And we'll start to wrap up to get out of here. So LeBron James, Paul George, Lonzo Ball, OG Anunoby, D'Angelo Russell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rashawn Holmes, PJ Tucker, Gary Payton II, Caleb Martin, Reggie Jackson, Jalen Smith, Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Eric Gordon, Josh Richardson, Josh Okogie. Okay, we're getting into the weeds now. Those are all the pieces that have player options this offseason. So, like,
not good.
Paul George, and he's basically being paid slightly less than LeBron James on that player option. He's not opting out of that. LeBron's getting paid $49 million. Okay. Paul George is getting paid $44 million. It doesn't matter how bad that team is. He's not opting out. Lonzo Ball might never play again. He's not opting out. OG Anunoby, he'll probably opt out, but it's because he is deserving of a bigger contract. D'Angelo Russell, $18 million. He's not opting out of $18 million. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's not opting out of $15 million. Like, there's a few players. Gary Payton, I could see opting out of his $8 million because I think he probably could get a little bit higher on the market, probably around the $10 to $11 million. Jalen Smith, 100% is opting out. The Pacers will not be able to keep him. He's only getting paid $5 million. Russell Westbrook, what? That's very good value for a piece like him. I'm really excited to see where he goes because I do feel like he's deserving of a starting role. Unfortunately, Miles Turner is a really good basketball player, so he never got that opportunity here. But I would love to see him go to a contender. Really, really, really cannot undersell how bad of a free agent class this is. It's horrible. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, this is just depressing. Maybe I'll be in a better mood
when
next
the
week.
Cavs are no longer in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's depressing. Hey, guys, if you like what we do here, leave a comment, like, subscribe, follow, 5-star review, 4-star review, whatever you want to do, whatever your podcatcher or whatever platform you listen to us on allows you to do. If it's YouTube, you give us a thumbs up. It does really help us out, and we do appreciate it a lot. Follow us at socials, at No Reserves on all platforms. You will have football on Thursday. You'll have football on Thursday. We'll probably have a midweek basketball episode, but like this, it's going to be a little shorter. We're just going to try to... Like, it doesn't make sense for us to do full episodes with the playoffs because things are changing so quickly, and we don't really have time to like gap it. Perfect world, we don't go to work, we just record every day because every day something changes. But we'll try to get more content out this week, even if it's short form, just so, you know, we can actually talk about shit. Yeah, go check out the draft reaction, and we will see you later in the week. No idea when yet. Probably Tuesday. We'll probably record an episode for Tuesday, and then or midweek Wednesday. I don't know. I'd say follow us on socials to get the answer, but just subscribe to the notification thingy, and you'll get flagged when it drops.
Because we all know Ren's not going to go on there.
Ren will go on there. Mm-hmm. Ren will go on there. I will post it. But thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.
So we're keeping that error and screw it.